You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That's right.
You needn't be a communist to care about your community.
Don't touch that, it's growing. Be careful, you guys.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
There's no way.
Great intro. Anyway, Oscar.
Yes. Yeah, so this week on In the Community Garden, it's not a crossover this week, it's just pure Community Garden. I talked to Cam of DI Ply about kind of his newish project about furniture and kind of finding a good mid-ground among the new kind of rental market that kind of is growing slash exists in New Zealand in combating the high wage of furniture production in the kind of boutique markets, and this is kind of his answer.
Great, here it is.
So basically, I'm from Australia and I came over here to work, and what I found was that when I was trying to buy furniture, that the cost of furniture was quite expensive in comparison to Australia, and there wasn't much of a second-hand market here for good quality stuff, which there is in cities like Melbourne, because they have like pretty good turnover, you know, of people renting and things like that, whereas Auckland is just pure growth, hard to find good quality stuff. So anyway, I found a design for a bed on the internet that you could get like routed out of plywood, and I like paid for the plans, downloaded it, and got it cut at a local fabricator with CNC, and painted it, and yeah, put it together, and it ended up being, you know, pretty good quality thing. It didn't take a huge amount of time, and the cost was about right. But I've always been into, like, you know, like I've kind of had this idea for a while, but what I was thinking is that I should be doing it, like I could do it myself, but instead of trying to sell finished pieces, to sell stuff that's cut so that people can go away and complete a project. So just like as you're a kid, you'd buy like a, you know, like a injection molded plastic like model airplane with all the parts just fresh out of the injection molder and a tube of glue. Thought, why don't we do the same thing with, you know, homewares and furniture?
Yeah, it's a super interesting thing as well, I think.
Yeah.
With that as well, I guess you're kind of building a relationship with the furniture that you have. So like,
yeah.
Whereas with like standard furniture, you go and choose it and you choose something that suits you really nicely. Whereas this, like, you've made it so it instantly almost becomes part of your home, but at a much like more affordable kind of bracket.
That's the idea. The affordability is a bit of an issue, and the quality is still something that I'm working on. But you know, there's the challenges that are I'm able to get over. Like, the thing is that, like, you know, because New Zealand's a high wage country, it's very expensive to it's very expensive to produce furniture here, and any furniture that's produced here is boutique, basically. So we're talking, you know, $3,000 plus for large pieces anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise, it's mass produced and pretty junky, and it's the kind of thing that you throw and skip after you're done, because once you put it together and pull it apart, it's had it.
Do you think that because New Zealand doesn't really have that renter culture, you touched on it before, that that's why there's not this market for kind of decent quality secondhand goods?
I'm not sure if I can say that exactly. Like, New Zealand is a more expensive country generally, so like import of things is more expensive. But I think that, you know, Melbourne and Brisbane, that's where I've grown from, they've got quite big centralised populations. We're talking, you know, 3 million each. So it's basically all of New Zealand in a city. So there's much more selection.
Indeed.
There's more competition, I guess, for stuff, for the quality. And also because it's Melbourne and Brisbane are growing too quite rapidly, but Auckland in particular is growing even faster than that. So it's tending to, there's a lot of young people and immigrants coming in that maybe don't have hand-me-downs and things like that. So
yeah.
Secondhand market's just under a bit of an added strain. That's not based on any science.
It's true. Yeah, no. And as you said as well, like, you're talking about how the furniture that is produced is like either boutique and expensive or crappy. I think it kind of, that's even mirrored in the second hand market. You're either buying stuff that looks beautiful, but perhaps is just slightly past it or past being super usable, or you're buying something that may be functional for like a good 3 years, but then will like all the glue and adhesive will kind of fall out and may not actually look particularly nice either.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, like, I guess what I'm sort of, my value proposition is, hey, if you're, like, you know, you're not scared of DIY, you're willing to put in a few hours, you know, as a hobby, as something, you know, the cost can come down, you invest into it, so it becomes a bit more, you know, it's a bit more active. It's active consumerism instead of just like buying something and that's it. You're actually participating in, you know, the final creation of it. And you can decide what level of effort you want to put in. You can make it like, you can, you know, sand it to perfection, or if you're happy enough to give it a quick pass over and that's fine, that's fine. But also you're putting stuff together. So it also, the other thing it does is it gives a person who maybe doesn't have like a workshop with all the tools the ability to glue, paint, sand, which you can do in, you know, small spaces without needing, I mean, and assembling furniture without needing like drop saws and band saws and all the ripping saws and dust and everything that comes with that. So it's sort of the hard bit sort of taken care of. That's the idea.
Yeah, especially because a lot of people don't have possession of those things, but also I feel like a lot of people are put off by the need for those things or the skills to have those things.
Correct.
Like when people think, oh, skill saw or drop saw, it's like, I don't know how to use that, like what am I going to do? Whereas if it's just like the assembly and sanding and cleaning up and putting together, it's almost more of like a Lego set, whereas if someone had to like mold the Lego pieces themselves, that they wouldn't be very interested. So you said you initially like purchased the plans for a bed off the internet.
Yes.
What is the access to like the creative licenses and kind of copyrights or patents with these kind of things?
But it depends on who you go with. Like the guy I bought the bed off, he just has a website, and I'm not sure if he has a block, but you just download it and you PayPal $10 or something like that, and then you're only supposed to produce one in that case. But there are different licenses that everyone has set up. And so I approached him and said, hey, you know, like I like your design. If I produce this, I'll give you a fee, like based on the if I get a sale, you still get your design fee for each one, but I'll be able to advertise it on my site. Now, he didn't take me up, and I might go back to him and you know, because that was probably a year ago, so he might have just said, oh, you're only getting started. It didn't take me too seriously, but hopefully with a bit more traction, I can
a bit more
seriousness.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, he didn't take me a bit more serious.
Yeah, so he sees it's worth the kind of investing in almost.
Yeah, so in time, but the. So the idea is that there's a section on the website, it's called Design for DIY. So if you, I've got a license agreement that I've set up, and it's written very favorably to the designer. Like the designer has the right to cancel the agreement and also to sell the design elsewhere and things like that. So I guess phase two of what I want to do with this project is start to approach like the universities and say, like, you guys don't have, you might, well, you know, a design student or design person, you don't have the facilities to produce this on large scale, and you're not interested in that either. You're a designer, so design. And here are the constraints. Here are the types of joints that you have to do with. Like, you can't do this type of joint, can do that. Here's some suggestions. Here's some like design examples that I've done, and then they'll submit a design, we'll review it, go through it, sign an agreement, sell that, and that will be explained sort of to the consumer as well, and the name of the designer goes on the piece. So what we're trying to do is if you look at the motif at the top of the website, we've got I don't know if you saw that, but there's like a light bulb, a robot, and a jigsaw. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
So the light bulb is meant to represent the designer. They come up with the idea. The robot is the company. Like, we manufacture it, and then the jigsaw is the client, the person who puts it together. So we each do our bit, and that's how it gets put together.
It seems a super cool cycle to kind of like deconstruct the kind of said kind of what furniture is for us. Like, we don't really see it as a process of construction and a process of making anymore. They all kind of seem to be like objects or products, like the consumer products, and almost to a certain extent even objectified kind of cultural capital kind of things. Like, if you've got a $3,000 bed, you're instantly better. But this is kind of the thing of like, well, some cool student thought of this kind of idea, then someone also made it, and then I got it and assembled it in my house. Like, this is, it seems kind of bringing kind of a cool community worth to pieces, and they've got a, they've all seemed to have a story with them as well.
I can't reach the potatoes.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
I'm going to name this one Cynthia.
Go forth and prosper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.